Now, of course, there are still naysayers. I'd like to take on a few of their arguments, if I could. Let's begin with the claim that without government subsidies, ethanol costs too much to be competitive with oil. Currently, federal law authorizes a tax credit of 51 cents per gallon for ethanol through 2010. It costs an average of about $1.10 to produce a gallon of ethanol. The average wholesale price of gasoline has risen to over $2 per gallon in 2006. At those prices, ethanol is competitive with gasoline even without tax credits. In fact, ethanol will continue to be competitive with gasoline so long as oil prices don't drop below $30 per barrel. By all predictions, tight supplies and an increasing demand for energy will very likely continue to keep oil prices at a higher level. The Department of Energy has forecast that oil prices will even out in the long run at a level higher than $50 per barrel. So while tax incentives encourage ethanol production, they certainly aren't creating demand that isn't there. Another contention I've heard is that we aren't capable of producing enough corn, the raw material, to meet the demand for ethanol. Those who would make such a case, well, they haven't met the same farmers whom I've encountered across America. The one constant in farming is change, and farmers have learned to adapt and to respond to market demands. If the skepticism is directed instead at the efficiency of farmers, again, I point to the statistics that demonstrate just how efficient our farmers have become. The number of farm households responsible for the majority of cash receipts is half what it was just 20 years ago. And yet our grocery store shelves are not half empty. Now consider this. These farmers account for only one-third of agricultural lands. Well, how is that possible? There's just a single-word answer to that, and it's productivity. Just recently, a top seed company announced it is developing an experimental drought-tolerant corn seed that may boost yields in dry areas by an astounding 40%. Not in the next lifetime, but in the next few years. Our economists, some of the very best in the world, I would suggest, calculate that ethanol production could nearly double in the next 5 years without forcing us to choose between corn for food or for fuel. Actually, corn used for ethanol creates a byproduct that makes great cattle and dairy feed. One bushel of corn used for ethanol creates about 17 pounds of the byproduct that is used for feed. Looking years into the future, we understand concerns about competing demands for corn. That is, if we envision ourselves depending solely upon corn to meet the ethanol demand. But we have no intention of doing so. Things like pecan shells, wood chips, witchgrass, materials we call biomass, are so important to this discussion. Cellulosic ethanol has the potential to help us meet this future demand. The naysayers will tell you that we're a lifetime away from being able to turn biomass into energy. But ladies and gentlemen, we're doing it today. In fact, as I speak, we're fueling schools in the northwestern United States using some of these very products. We're accomplishing this through an innovative program called Fuel for Schools. Woody biomass from our nation's forests is being used to heat and to cool schools. The Forest Service program is now expanding beyond the demonstration phase toward commercialization. In fact, there's a machine in the exhibit area of this conference that converts the woody biomass into energy. It's called the Biomax, and it holds enormous potential. In reality, the cellulose and biomass has the potential to create a great deal more energy than corn. And with each passing day, we come closer to a cost-effective technique for releasing that energy on a broader scale. You see, for all the